It's good to be in his presence, amen?
Amen.
Isn't it supernatural if we can sit through a 2.5 hour, almost 3 hour mass? That's supernatural, isn't it? That's people who are thirsty for God. And Deacon Larry was telling me that all over the US at the moment, they've got this big tour. It's a big evangelistic tour. It's called I Thirst. And they're going from parish to parish to parish for people who are thirsting for more. And when you're hungry for more, you can't get enough. Amen?
Amen?
You just can't get enough of Jesus. And we were watching you from the airport last Sunday, Deacon Larry and Andy, I think they're watching us live just now. And we were just so blessed to see how God was moving among us. That was just a little insight into revival, an insight into a real move of God. People who are thirsty for God, get used to that, because when the Holy Spirit really starts to move, we're going to spend hours and hours in his presence. It's not the fastest mass in the West, it's the longest mass in the West. Amen?
Amen.
And I was just so blessed. Now, I tell you, I get quite choked a few times just watching Father Jerry and Helen and all the musicians moving and flowing. It was just a joy just to be watching what God was doing in our midst. God is moving among us. God is doing great things among us. Sorry?
I think you missed out.
I missed out. You're right. He had us trapped in an airport. But God was moving among us. I think it was Jerry who put up something on the Facebook page saying how great it was. The only criticism he had, it was too short. Was it you, Jerry, who said that?
It was the shortest 2.5 hour mass.
Powerful. But I was at this conference with Deacon Larry and Andy, and they were the keynote speakers. And there was something said that just struck me, and it made me think. And the whole title or the theme of the conference they were in was called The Overflow. And one of the speakers got up and said, this is the now word. This is the now word for the church, the overflow. We need the overflow. And something just downloaded on me and I started to write. Because as a Bible teacher, I've heard that so many times. This is the now word. This is the now word. And it made me think, the Holy Spirit said to me, the now word has always been the word. We should always be in overflow. We should always be moving in power and overflow. And then we say, oh, God's doing a new thing. God's doing a new thing, but the new thing was the original thing. The new thing was always the original thing. The now word was always the original word to overflow in the Spirit, to move in power and anointing. We had a now word a few months ago, didn't we? Do you know what the now word was? Fear. Fearless disciples. It was a now word, but it was the original word. Way back in the Old Testament and the New Testament, God speaks day after day after day, do not be afraid, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. And when we looked at the title of our conference, the title of our conference was Spreading the Fire. That was the now word, spread the fire. But that was not an original, and it was an original word. Spreading the word was the original word from God. And it just made me think, sometimes we say things like, God is doing a new thing. And in a sense, God is doing a new thing in Knockbridge, but God is doing the original thing in Knockbridge. This is the way it was always meant to be, always meant to be coming together to praise, to worship, to glorify God, and be anointed in his presence. That's the original thing. Do you understand me? So we can have themes, we can have different words that come from time to time. Repentance, oh, that's the now word. Repentance has always been the original word. I was speaking at Pentecost Island, and Father James says, can you bring a word? What is the heart for God for Ireland? And I brought the word unity. Unity. Unity is a place of power. Unity was the now word for that conference. But unity has always been the original word. There's nothing new under the sun. There's not any new revelation, but there's neglected revelation. This is not a new thing. People watching us on camera, people coming and checking us out. This is not a new thing. This is the original thing. This is how the original church met together day after day after day, the Bible says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, to fellowship, and to prayer. Four keys. And this made me think, what we're doing is the original thing. When we meet together and we praise and worship together, when we sing in tongues and we speak in tongues, oh, that's new. That's not new. That's the original. That's Pentecost. At Pentecost, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And God is doing something. He wants to do something special in Ireland by spreading the fire. Evangelization. Oh, that's the new word. Evangelization has always been the original word. Pentecost, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's the new thing. No, it's not. That's the original thing. Jesus said, go into the city and wait to receive power from on high. So we need the preaching of the gospel, we need baptism in the Holy Spirit, but it's nothing new. It's nothing new, brothers and sisters. What we are doing is we're just stepping into the flow of God. And what God wants to do for Ireland is to bring back the power of the gospel, the power of the Holy Spirit, and have people who are hungry and desperate for the things of God. Amen? Amen. That's why we called it spreading the fire. We had reaping the harvest with Maria Vadia. We had catching the fire with Ralph and Peter. These were prophetic statements we were making. But spreading the fire, this is the next stage of evangelization, that you and I start to go and reach others for the gospel. And Jesus said in Matthew 28, go, make, baptize, and teach. Go. But then in Luke he says, wait. So Matthew 28, we had a green light. Go, make, baptize, and teach. Then Luke gospel, he says, no, stop. Wait. Just wait till you receive power from on high. You can't have a new evangelization without a new Pentecost. They couldn't preach the gospel till they received the power of the Holy Spirit. Father Jerry says it every week. Go, but not just yet. And that's what Jesus was saying. Go, but just not just yet. Wait till you receive power from on high. We were at Holy Family during the weekend. The anticipation of people coming forward to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They just wanted so much more. Give me, Lord. I want more of you, more of the Holy Spirit, more of that fire, more of that power. And I was thinking in the natural to spread the fire. Some of you may have seen it in news and seen countries, villages and forests and fields blazing with fire. Days and days they're trying to get this fire out. And I looked into that. You know what the fire officer says? In the outside world, the biggest problem they have is the breath. It's the wind. The wind keeps the fire going. Isn't that amazing? The wind just keeps this fire going and burning and burning. It just keeps spreading and spreading and spreading. That's in the outside world. So it is with the Holy Spirit. It's the wind of the Holy Spirit. It's the ruah, the pneuma of God, the breath of God that breathes on his church. That's why we can sing all over the world, the Spirit is moving. He is on the move. Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And all over the world, in China, underground churches, and all over the world, the Holy Spirit is moving. That breath, that wind of God is causing the spread of the fire. But I started to think, what about buildings inside? Fire officers will tell you, for inside a building, the first thing you need to do is put in fire doors. You're going to door here, door there, door there, door there. Because these doors will stop the spread of the fire inside. That's the problem we've had in the church for decades. We've had doors stopping the spread of the fire. Doors of resistance, doors of stubbornness, doors of clericalism, the priests are the professional Christians. And I say that not to have a go at the priests, because sometimes the poor priests are so tired and exhausted, it's the laity. Oh Lord, Father, you do it. Father, you do it. You just do everything. And the Lord is trying to raise us up as prophet, priest, and king. Are you a priest today? Yes, I'm a prophet, priest, and king according to my baptism. And so are you. So we have doors of clericalism, doors of stubbornness, doors of religiousness. that will not let the Holy Spirit spread. The spread of the Holy Spirit. These doors are stopping. But I tell you prophetically, these doors are getting stopped right now. There's no doors in here. There's no doors of resistance in here. No doors. We're not having any doors in here. We're just going to flow with the Holy Spirit and let Him move among us in power and anointing. That's what God wants for the church. Inside the church. No more doors of resistance. No more doors of stubbornness. And no more doors stopping the spread of the fire. And this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to normalize everything in this service so that the spread of the fire, the Holy Spirit can move in anointing and power. That's what He wants to do. But we can never go without the Holy Spirit. We can't. You can never evangelize without the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus says, go, but wait. You wait till you receive power from on high. Oh, but did they not have the Holy Spirit? Here's an argument. It comes up all the time. Should we have the Holy Spirit when we're baptized? Should we with the Holy Spirit when we're confirmed? Yes. But oftentimes, the Holy Spirit remains inactive in most lives. Jesus came into the upper room and He breathed on them. And He said, receive the Holy Spirit. It's called Resurrection Sunday. There's two Sundays, Resurrection Sunday and Pentecost Sunday. And some people just want to stay in Resurrection Sunday. Receive the Holy Spirit. Did they receive the Holy Spirit when Jesus said that? When He breathed on, did they? Did they receive?
Yeah.
Yeah. But Pentecost was still coming. They'd received the Holy Spirit, but Jesus would still say to them later, you go in. They could have said, oh Lord, You gave us the Holy Spirit. Sure, You breathed on us upstairs. Jesus said, no, there's more. You received the Holy Spirit, your baptism. You received the Holy Spirit, your confirmation. But there's more. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so many people are resisting the doors of resistance against the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a new word. Do you know why? Because it was the original word. It was not a new thing. Oh, the charismatics. No, the church was born charismatic. The church was born Pentecostal. The church was born with healings and signs and wonders, where even Peter's shadow would heal people. And anointing and power was released. It's not a new thing. What's happening in Northbridge is not a new thing. It's the original thing. It's Pentecost, it's power, it's anointing, it's praise and worship, it's getting into His presence and just staying in His presence. It's healings and miracles and anointings. That's why every last Sunday of the month we have healing service. Thank God for the Catholic Church. You know, I've traveled everywhere. I've been in so many different denominations. Do you know that most denominations don't believe in miracles? They don't believe in it. It's the Bible alone, that's it, with the full revelation, no more. It's called cessationism. Ceased. The Holy Spirit stopped moving when the Bible was given to them. But the Catholic Church, we've always embraced miracles and healings and signs and wonders. Goodness me, you have to get a miracle and a healing to be canonized. But that's not the new thing. It was the original thing. Healing was the original thing. It was there all along. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We need power and boldness. The Bible says with great boldness. The church preached the gospel with great boldness. You can't get boldness without the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's so many people say, well, I've been baptized and I've been and confirmed. And let me show you by way of example. Father Jerry, could you come for a minute? I just want to give you by way of example. When Father Jerry, whatever priest baptized you, he gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's it there. There's one gift. There's a baptism. Thank you, Father Jerry. I received that gift. I was baptized. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were baptized? Did you receive the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
But you weren't there, were you? In your mental faculties, you don't remember. But you received the Holy Spirit at your baptism. This is where most people don't understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And some people say, oh, we've already been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Not like Pentecost. These apostles were baptized in water. Once you've been baptized in water, they've been baptized in the River Jordan. They still had to receive Pentecost power. power and boldness together. And in a confirmation, thank you, Father Jeffrey, a confirmation, we receive the Holy Spirit again. We've got the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Do you know the church calls it? I've said it before, and I'm going to teach again. Could you get Opus Operatum up there? Opus Operatum. This is what the church teaches. When you were given, baptized, the work was given, the Holy Spirit was given to you. When you were confirmed, the work was established. But the Father's teaches, you have to say yes. You have to say opus operantis is the work of the individual to say the work has been accomplished. But so many people, we've got baptism and we've got confirmation certificates, we're not activated. We're initiated, affiliated, but not activated. That's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, initiated, affiliated, but not yet activated. But I've got the Holy Spirit. And many people go to church every day. Yes, they got the Holy Spirit at the baptism. Yes, we got the Holy Spirit at the confirmation. Opus operatum took place. The gift was given. But the Father says, it's your turn. You must say yes. Your opus operantis is your yes to the Holy Spirit. The yes to your baptismal vows. That's how every Easter we say, we renew our baptismal vows. But many people have that gift and it's unopened. That's why the Pope's been saying, unleash the Holy Spirit. The Pope's been saying, don't cage up the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's been given, the gift has been given, but it's never been opened up. It's unused. You ever had a gift at Christmas? And you've never opened it up? You ever get some stupid gifts at Christmas? And you think, that's Aunt Susie's gift. I had a friend of mine, his aunt gave him a spoon. A spoon. Yeah, that's for your lunch. You have yogurt. Spoon. Oh, right. Oh, thank you. And many of us have got unopened gifts, or you may have been touched in the past, and you may have been opened up to the Holy Spirit, but then you block them again. How many people have opened up gifts at Christmas and they go under the bed, in the attic, totally unused? That's where most people are today. And that's why a few months ago we had a situation where a priest was saying, we don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the church. You've been baptized, opus operatum. You've been confirmed, opus operantum. But what about opus operantis? What about the yes? What about say yes to the Holy Spirit? I want the fullness. And the Holy Family, every day we were praying for, we were like, yes, give me one more. And the Holy Spirit came in power and filled them afresh. John the Baptist, what did John the Baptist say in St. Seamus? You shall receive power and you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That was the words of John the Baptist. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. What part of that don't we understand? He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. The next scripture, Seamus. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. These are the words of the Master. Jesus said this, you will receive power. Go, but don't go. Go, but wait. Wait till you receive power, and then you shall be my witnesses. Dunamis, the Greek word means dynamite. Dynamic in God. But that's where most people are today. The gift's unopened. It's unused. It's never been activated, affiliated, initiation. We've got three sacraments of initiation in the church. Who knows what they are? Baptism, confirmation, and the Eucharist. Sacraments of initiation. Sacraments of affiliation. But you have to come to the point of activation. That's why so many people, and it breaks my heart to say this, can come to the Holy Eucharist and live like pagans. They've got the gift, but they've never been activated. They've never really surrendered their life to Jesus. That's why we need the power. We need God's anointing. If the Holy Spirit had to fall on the original church, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit? And we've had theologians for years trying to talk away the Holy Spirit. There's no such thing. But thank God for our Catholic Church. The church has always said miracles, signs and wonders. It's the original thing. It's not a new thing, it's the original thing. And if you can understand that you were baptized and you were confirmed, that's why a lot of the young guys who are confirmed and young girls and boys, they come along, they're rolling their eyes and they're chewing their gum and they're out of church, they're gone. Opus operatum took place, but they're gone. They have to come to that point where they say, yes, I want Jesus, I want the Holy Spirit, I want everything. There's something in our Catholic church, this is what happens. We become reservoir Catholics. We just keep it to ourselves. We don't want to move. We just want to keep this to myself. Keep this to myself. You can't spread the fire if you're keeping it to yourself. You can't be an evangelist if you're keeping it to yourself. And I say this to bring a bit of correction. It's not to hurt anybody, but you know, people say that, make that quote, you know, always evangelize, but sometimes use words. Francis of Assisi never said those words. It's totally unbiblical to say those words, because the Bible says, preach the good news, go make, baptize and teach, not just your good works. And we say things like that, we repeat things like that, and it's a kind of cop-out from preaching the gospel and telling others about Jesus. The Franciscans have been denying this and denying this for years. Would you stop misquoting Francis of Assisi? He never said those words. And if you analyse those words, they are unbiblical. Sometimes use words. Not all times use words, the Bible says. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it's the power of God unto salvation. So many people are ashamed of the gospel. You shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. It's power. As soon as you start to share the gospel, power is released. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Is that too strong?
No.
Are you understanding what I'm saying here? The gift was given, baptism, the gift was given in confirmation, but it was only when we were baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was Father Jenkins says, the greatest day of his life, even greater than his ordination. It's the greatest day of my life. I walked into a prayer group, I had no hope. And I see these people baptized in the Holy Spirit with fire who just love each other. I saw real Christianity, normal Christianity. But I had this and I had that. But I wasn't activated. I was initiated and affiliated, but not activated. We need to be activated by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can never spread the gospel until we're really baptized in the Spirit. And He'll give us boldness. What's the next scripture? Seamus. The church grew with boldness, the Bible says, with great boldness. And now, Lord, behold the threateners. That's just after the Pharisees got them in and told them, you're not going to say another word about Jesus. Isn't that happening today? You can't mention Jesus in a pub. You can't mention Jesus at the workplace. This is the church. And now, Lord, behold the threatenings and grant your servants that with all boldness that they may speak your words. Where is the boldness in the church? Where is the boldness among us? You can't get the boldness without the power. Because it's the power of the Holy Spirit that gives you the boldness. Another scripture there. After they prayed. Watch this. This is powerful. God, make it happen here. After they prayed, the place they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And spoke the word of God boldly. They spoke the word of God boldly. And so many people, I'm afraid. Once you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you won't be afraid. You can speak boldly to people and tell them Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus touched my life. Jesus died for you. Be bold. You need power and boldness. That's normal Christian living. That's how the church grew. People have talked the Holy Spirit out of the church. Holy Spirit, you can come, but sit up the back. Holy Spirit, just don't get involved with us. Just sit up the back and don't disturb the peace. I saw 2.5-3 hours of Holy Spirit last week, watching live the Holy Spirit moving. I saw people in tears and people getting touched and healings and signs and preaching and praise and worship. And the atmosphere of His presence was wonderful. Because when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you just can't get enough of Him. And this is what we need to learn as Catholics. When we're evangelizing Catholics, baptism confirmation, but there's more. There's so much more. And Jesus says, I have come to give you life, and would you have it in abundance? John 10, verse 10. God wants us to have an abundant life. And when you hold the Holy Spirit in you, we think about this. The residential address of the President of the United States, Washington, the White House, the residential address of, what is the Taoiseach, is it Merion House, the government building? The residential address of the Prime Minister in England is 10 Downing Street. Who's the residential address of the Holy Spirit? And you. You and I are wall-to-wall Holy Spirit. You are the residential address of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. Greater is he who's in me. You've got power. You've got anointing. You've got boldness. You can do great things for God. That's what he wants to see in our church. He wants to see the power, the spreading of the fire, the spreading of the gospel. You are wall to wall, Holy Spirit. He lives in you. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water, Jesus says in John chapter 7. That's why when I pray with people, I tell them put their hands in their belly. Put your hands in your belly, because out of your belly will flow rivers of living God, water. And the Blessed Virgin, full of grace, how much more Spirit do you want? She's already full of grace, but at Pentecost, she's won more. She wants more. Do you know why she'd received her commission? Do you know when she received her commission? She received her commission on the cross when Jesus looked down and says, woman, behold your son. That was her being commissioned. That was Mary's ministry just starting. That's why she had to get to Pentecost. I'm going to be the mother of the church. I'm going to be the mother, the queen of the apostles. I'm getting ready for, I need more. I want this Pentecost power. And she received the Pentecost power and the anointing of her life. And ministry was just beginning. When Jesus spoke to him on the cross, all the way to the cross, but there's more. And God wants you and me to have more power and more boldness. And many, many people have never opened themselves up to the Holy Spirit. And that's what you need to do. Open up the gift. Okay? And inside that gift, there's power. There's power. Open yourself up to the Holy Spirit. John Paul II says, open your hearts to the Redeemer. He addressed all the charismatics. He says, charismatics, tell the world to open their hearts up to the Redeemer. We sang it. Lord, I give you my heart. Open yourself up to the gift of the Holy Spirit and you will receive power. And it just comes and goes, oh, what about more? We'll get more here, more gifts. What about this one here? What about boldness? Lord, give me, put this on the other side, I think. Give me boldness, Lord. Give me boldness in the early church. Give me power. Give me this dunamis, this anointing that I can preach the gospel. I want to be bold for Jesus and not be afraid of preaching the gospel. Not be afraid of people who maybe ridicule you. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice when those persecute you. The Bible says, count it all joy when people persecute you for my name's sake. The early church were so blessed, they were so happy to suffer for the sake of the gospel. That's the power of Pentecost. It's the original. It's not a new thing. It's not a new thing. Boldness. And I looked into that scripture. I heard it said so many times. I studied it in Bible school. I forgot all about it. Do you know the Hebrew word is chutzpah? It's spelled chutzpah, but it's chutzpah. And it means fearless confidence, audacity. It means gall. God wants you to have chutzpah, to have boldness. Chutzpah. Give me some chutzpah, Lord. It's audacity. It's in your face. Do you know what it is? It's a couldn't care less attitude, what you think about. Jews will say, he's got some chutzpah. He's got some chutzpah, because he's just going to let them have it. And Abraham had chutzpah. Moses had chutzpah. Lord, these are your people. He was bold and he said to the Lord, Lord, you can't go without you. I'm not going unless you go. He had chutzpah. Abraham had chutzpah. He was bargaining with the Lord. Lord, you can't kill them all in Sodom and Gomorrah. What if it's 50? Lord says, okay. What if it's 45? Okay. What if it's 40? The chutzpah, he just kept coming because he was bold before the Lord. And to get the Lord right down to 10, Lord, if you find 10 righteous people, will you save the city? The Lord says, yes, okay. God loves chutzpah. God loves people who are bold for Jesus, who want to do more and anointed for Jesus. But it's not a new thing. It's the original thing. Power, boldness, anointed. And the devil's come in and try to shut us up with all these doors stopping the spread of the fire. There'll be no doors in here. Open doors. Our tagline for divine renovation is open the doors to Redeemer. Open the doors to Jesus. Open the doors to the Lord. No longer any reservoir Catholics. Storing and storing and storing. And divine mercy and rosaries and adoration. And give me, give me, give me. You're not meant to be a reservoir. You're meant to be a river to flow and tell others about Jesus. This is what the Master wants all of us to do. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he thinks about. And you and I were filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized with the Holy Spirit with power and boldness. And if that's good enough for the early church, it's good enough for us to spread the fire. We can't go, but wait. Wait till you receive power from on high. And last Wednesday, Holy Family, I tell you, people were getting zapped. Do you know why? Because they give me more. I want more of you, Lord. I want more of your power. I need it for my workplace. I need it for my marriage. I need it for my business. I need the power. You were never meant to rely on your own strength. Think about this. You were never meant to rely on your own strength. Sorry, I'm talking too fast. Calm down, Terry. You were meant to live a supernatural life. With the power, the dunamis of God. We can't do it without his power. Where do you think Samson got his anointing from? It wasn't exactly Arnold Schwarzenegger. Because, you know, Delilah says, tell me the secret of your strength, Samson. Think about that. What's the secret of your strength, Samson? You think if he's built like Arnold Schwarzenegger, he'd be saying, would you look at the muscles? Would you look at the six-pack? Are you blind? Samson didn't have muscles. Do you know what he had? He had the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And power came on. The Bible says, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, power came. And he took a jawbone of an ass and killed over 1,000 people. 1,000 men with one jawbone. That's power. I've been in a few barroom brawls. I bet you have as well, Jim. 1,000 men, I could take maybe one or two, a Glasgow kiss. But 1,000, that's power. That's anointing. How do you think David could take out Goliath with this wee slingshot? That stone went through Goliath like a bullet because the Holy Spirit came upon him and he had that chutzpah, that boldness, that couldn't care less attitude. That's what we need back in the church. And David came, he comes to the battlefield, and all the brothers, and all the, they've all got their shields, the Israel, we're all there, we're all going to mass, we're all doing this, we're doing that, and the enemy's taking them out, shouting at them, mocking them. And David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? That he could challenge the armies of a living God. He had chutzpah. And he ran towards them and said, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And this day I'm going to cut your head off. I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds of the air. There's some chutzpah. Some scholars reckon it's only 13 or 14, this young boy. Boldness, the anointing in his life. We were never meant just to rely in human strength. We were rely in power. The power of the Holy Spirit, the chutzpah of God, the power and boldness to spread the fire, that nothing can shut us up. Nothing. Nothing. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we need to see a move in Ireland. We need to see our families coming back to Christ. We need to see our children and our grandchildren and our workmates and our friends who are just got this gift, but it's unused and unopened. They've got the opus operatum, but they need to get to opus operantis when they say, yes, I want more of you, Lord. I want more of you in my life. More power. More of his presence. More of his anointing. Amen.
Amen.
Was that too strong? Let's just bow our heads, will we? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord God, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We thank you for your supernatural power. And we ask you, Lord, to fill us afresh with glory and power and anointing. Lord, that we would be filled again. Lord, that we would not just have the indwelling, but we'd have the infilling of your Holy Spirit. And we know, Lord God, you live in us. You live in us, the Holy Spirit. Greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. Lord, help us to be activated. Lord, help us to preach your gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. God of glory, God of power, come upon us, we pray. God of glory. Just sing it for us, Jerry, will you? Let's just stay in his presence. God of glory. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Here I stand before you, before your throne of grace.
Let's stand together, will we?
To find help in time of need, to seek your loving face. Father, I come to you through the blood of Christ. I bring to you an offering of
Jesus,
a consecrated life.
God of glory, God of
God of glory, God of
I just stay in his presence. And maybe you just heard that word for you that penetrated your heart. Maybe you think to yourself, I've been initiated and I'm affiliated, but I don't think I'm activated. And if that's you, and you want that power and that dunamis of God and that boldness, I'm going to ask you to step out of your seat, come down and meet us at the altar, and we're going to pray. Pray for that power to come upon you. Initiated, affiliated, activated. There's a lot of people coming forward here that have been activated, but they want more. Isn't that amazing? There's always more. Always more. Hallelujah. More power. More of your glory. More of your anointing, Lord God. Supernatural lifestyle. See, church, brothers and sisters, that Satan has got us in a supernatural. So many people are supernatural. Or they're superficial. We were meant to live a supernatural lifestyle where the power of God will come upon us. It's power-assisted living. Amen?
Amen.
Do you remember the old cars without the power? Do you remember it was like driving a tank? Then we get power steering. It's just like you can put your finger. That's the living, power-assisted living, the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. Say this prayer with me, will you? And then we'll sing it again, dear. Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I come to you today.
I come to you today.
And I ask for more power.
And I ask for more power.
For more of you in my life.
Lord Jesus,
I ask for boldness
to come upon me,
to set my tongue on fire with the gospel.
Lord Jesus,
I surrender my life to you. Lord,
I give you my heart.
Use me for your glory.
Give me your power.
And your anointing that removes burdens and removes yokes from people. Help me to witness for you, Jesus.
Help me to preach your gospel.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come with your power.
Come with your anointing.
Holy Spirit.
Activate me
with your power.
Holy Spirit,
I say yes to you.
I say yes to your power.
I shall receive power.
I shall receive power.
I shall receive power.
Come, Holy Spirit,
and fill me afresh
with your anointing.
With your presence,
Lord Jesus,
I stand publicly today
to declare you
as my Lord and Savior.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
God of glory, God of power.
God of majesty.
Let's sing it together again with Jerry and let it be our prayer. Here I stand before you. We're all standing here. Do you know Hebrews 4:16 says this? We can come boldly before the throne of grace. In the Old Testament, they had the veil in front of the tabernacle. And the Bible says at the time when Jesus died, that veil was torn in two from top to the bottom. God stepped out and stepped in. In the Old Testament, you couldn't get near him. But now he lives in you. And everything we do in our church is focused on the Master. Be somebody that just carries the Master wherever you go. And, you know, I've been in a lot of churches and a lot of them are pastor-centered instead of Master centered. The source and summit of our faith is the Mass. It's the Word of God, it's the Eucharist. And thank God for what happened last week with Helen and Father Jerry, but they were just instruments. I'm just an instrument. We don't be pastor-centered, be master-centered. Everything we do is for Him and for His glory. To God be the glory with the musicians and the singing. To God be the glory. It's not about anybody else, it's about the Master. So let's sing it together. God of glory, we stand before you, Lord, before your throne of grace, the throne of grace. It's not the throne of perfect performance, it's the throne of grace. Thank you, Jesus.
Here I stand before you, before your throne of grace, to find help in time of need, to seek your loving face. Father, I come to you through the blood of Christ. I bring to you an offering of
thank you, Jesus.
Consecrated life. God of glory, God of power.
Hallelujah.
Stand before you.
Let it be your prayer.
Before your throne of grace. To find help in time of need. To see your loving faces. Father, I come to you. Through the blood of Christ. I bring to you an offering of a consecrated life. God of glory, God of power, God of majesty, God of glory,
God of power,
God of power,
God of majesty. Power.
God of power, God of majesty, you're the God of glory, God of power, God of majesty.
Thank you, Jesus. This is the scripture that song was written from. Hebrews 4:16 says this, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in a time of need. We can come boldly before his throne of grace. Remember this, it's not the throne of perfect performance. It's not the throne of good works. It's the throne of grace. You can come with the chutzpah, the boldness. Come boldly before the throne of grace every day. No matter what's going through your life, the Bible says, his mercies are new every morning. The steadfast love Amen. Of the Lord never ceases. Lamentations 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new every morning. Don't let the devil take you out with sin, and don't let you take you out with some of the stuff you're going through. You can come boldly before the throne of grace and repent and ask the Lord to bless you afresh every day. His mercies are new every morning. Thank you, Jesus, for your power. Thank you for your presence, O God. Give us that boldness, Holy Spirit. Each and every one of us. Your power to reach the lost. Bring revival in this land of ours, O God. We pray for Ireland, the land of saints and scholars. And Lord, we come as a corporate body. Every one of us, we stand before your throne of grace. And Lord, we speak Ireland to you. And we say, Lord, would you move in Ireland again? Would you spread a fire in this nation once again, Lord? The blood of the martyrs, the seed of the church. Father, we thank you for our forefathers who shed blood for the faith of our fathers. And we stand united with them in heaven, the communion of saints who pray with us for a new, fresh, powerful anointing of the Holy Spirit. Burden removing, yoke destroying power of God that can flow through this land, we pray. Hallelujah. Give us Ireland, Lord Jesus. Give us Ireland for your glory, Lord. Let your glory fill this place, Lord. Lord, as the psalmist said, would you open the heavens and come down among us. Use us. Anoint us. Fill us, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
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 Amen. God bless you. I think we should go out with our "How Great Is Our God." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. How great is our God. Praise the Lord. Our God is a wonderful God. In Him we live and move and have our being.
The splendor of the King.
Hallelujah.
Clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice.
Let all the earth rejoice.
All the earth rejoice. He rests himself in life.
Hallelujah.
Trembles at his voice.
Come on, let's sing it together.
A great